announced this evening, I would thought
we would look to the lessons found in the study of the vine to help each of us as we consider God's word. The vine is spoken of in the Bible in the days of Noah, where we read that Noah began to be an husbandman and he planted a vineyard. But the culture of the vine was probably known even before the flood. And in the book of Job, we have an allusion of wine as a common drink in the houses that could afford such. For when his children feasted, we read that they drank wine. Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, we are told, met Abraham with bread and wine after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and the kings with him, and he blessed him. He brought bread and wine. And when the angel spake to Moses at the burning bush, he said, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and am come down to deliver them up out of that land, and to bring them into a good land and a large, flowing in milk and honey. Yahweh was going to take his people from the land of Egypt, where they were suffering at that time, and he was to take them to the land of Canaan, to a very fruitful land. And then later, God mentioned 7 specific items in which the land was blessed, of which the vine was one. Now, I was going to ask the children, little children, questions on this, but I was going to ask them, because they could tell me what the other 6 items were. Well, the other 6 items were wheat, barley, figs, trees, pomegranates, olive and honey, and of course, the vine, which proved that it would be a very fruitful land indeed. We are all aware, no doubt, of the spies that spied out the land, who came across a vine, which showed to them that God was right when he said that the land was a good land. And they decided to take a cluster of the grapes back with them to show the waiting Israel, along with the other fruits that they gathered, what a wonderful, fruitful land that God had given unto them. They carried the vine, the cluster of grapes, on a pole. Not because it was too big for one man to carry, no doubt, but it, not to damage it, so that the people could see it at its very best, to show them of the wonderful vines that were in this land. The place where the vine grew was by the brook Eshcol in Hebron, and it is reputed as the place of one of the finest grapevines in the world. In fact, I did have the book, I don't know where it got to, where some of the best vines in Europe and even in America were brought from Eshcol in Hebron, because it was such a fine vine. And incidentally, the grapes are white, or as we would say, green grapes, which they say makes a very fine wine. As we know, fermented grape juice will make a man drunk. And so we find that a priest was forbidden to partake of anything of the vine while officiating in the priest's office, just as the man who had vowed to become a Nazarite, as Samuel, whom we spoke of last week, and Samson, that strong man, both were Nazarites. One who dedicates his life, or a part of his life, to God. They are forbidden to partake of any part of the vine. And Hosea, in his 4th chapter and verse 11, says, wine taketh away the heart. Brother Roberts in Law Moses says, it is the nature of strong drink to dull the mental eyes and to render the mind insusceptible to spiritual considerations. And how true that is. Jesus, the great antitypical Nazarite, refused before the crucifixion to drink of the vinegar mingled with gall, which had dulled the pain and enabled him to go through the ordeal of pain with an endurance not derived from faith, but from mere physical stupefaction, which is the effect of strong drink. It dulls the mind. Those who walk before God are to be distinguished from theatrical religionists of all kinds. Those around us who get very emotional and shout, I'm saved, I am saved, and so forth. Just as the true is always to be discerned from the false, the natural from the artificial, the sincere from the hypocritical, and the superstitious. We must be sober-minded, and we must work out our salvation with trembling and fear. Not be taken up with the emotional religions around us, but we must read God's word soberly, and we must walk according to it. In the character of the vine, it will be noticed that it will not grow in just any old soil. Some plants, you can plant them anywhere, and up it will come and it will thrive. The vine is not like that. The vine will not grow in just any old soil, and it thrives in stony ground. Now the lesson here surely for us is that tribulation helps for development in the truth. And the Apostle Paul tells us that without tribulation, we shall not enter into the kingdom of God. When walking in the truth is easy, when there's nothing there to hinder us, we become complacent and we relax and things go from bad to worse. It is hard to contend for things you believe are right, even in normal walks of life. But in the truth, it is even harder to contend for the things that you believe are right. But fighting for the right makes us stronger. It helps us and strengthens us to do that which is right in the sight of God. The vine is planted in deep ground. It is planted deep in the ground. And the lesson is that we must plant our roots deep in the word of Christ. We must build on a sound foundation. And a sound foundation, to build a sound foundation, we have to dig deep in the earth, so that our foundation is centered upon a rock, that it will withstand the storms of life. The vine, too, is normally planted on the sides of the hills, in the right conditions and prospect, with a southern exposure, taking advantage of the warm, life-giving rays of the sun. And here again, we have a lesson for us. We must be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Cold winds will kill off the vine, and so without Christ's healing beams, without Christ's healing beams, we too would die. If we do not take the word of Christ and walk in it, in the shadow of it, we shall die. very importantly too, vines grow on supports. My grandfather, many years ago in Ross Island, had a vine in the conservatory there, and as a young boy who had never seen grapes growing at all, I was quite amazed to see them growing on the top of the conservatory with all the supports, and it would weave its way among the supports and the bunches of grapes would hang down. And it is a lesson for us that we cannot grow, we cannot bring forth fruit on our own. We need the support of God. We need the support of our brothers and sisters. Jesus himself said, "Of myself, I can do nothing." Confiding in the flesh will bring spiritual death. Turn with me to Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians in chapter 3. And verse 4. Verse 4. "Or I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the ecclesia, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if I by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many of us be perfect, be thus minded. And if in any otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them, so as we have us for an ensample." Yes. We cannot confide in the flesh, as the Apostle Paul has shown. We cannot indeed grow in the truth without the support of the Word of God and our brethren and sisters to strengthen us on our walk into the kingdom. The vine, like the roses in the garden, have to be pruned right back. That is, at the end of the season, all the old and weak and wild stock must be cut off, or else the fruit will become stunted, small, bitter, and of no use. Unless the vine is trim back, the fruit will come small. The vine will grow weak and spindly, and the fruit bitter. Now Isaiah the prophet, in the chapter our president read for us, speaks of the planting of a vine. Let us turn to Isaiah and learn some lessons regarding it. First one. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my vineyard, touching his vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to thy vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? The lesson is easy to see as we read that chapter, is it not, young people? To bring forth good fruit to the honour of God, just like the vine has to partake of the sap, the word of life, the sap that it might grow and become luscious fruit. So we must partake of the sap, the word of life, that we might grow in the knowledge of God. By cutting off the things which offend, the branches grow fat and strong to carry plenty of the sap. That sap, the word of God, to each of the fruit, the clusters. Pruning teaches us to cut off those things which hinder us from giving our all to God. How often has a fellowship become into such a state where the word of God is spoken, not spoken in its purity, because they are not partaking of the sap. They are not cutting and pruning off the things which offend, so that the vine might give the sap, the word of God, that they might grow thereby. The Lord Jesus Christ says in John 15 and verse 1. Let's have a read of John chapter 15 and verse 1. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean for the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now there's a lesson for us all to learn, is it not? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, which is taught, you cut the vine away, it will die. No more can he, except he abide in me, says Jesus. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. God had brought out Israel from Egypt. which he turns the vine to the promised land. He takes the stones away. That's the nations in the land of Canaan. He takes them away and he plants them there in that land, that wonderful land. And he takes away the stone for Canaanites, etc., so that Israel should have flourished and as a good wine, a vine, have brought fruit to God. If we turn to that fifth chapter of Isaiah again, he tells us that he fenced it, verse 2, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with a choice of vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press there, and then he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and he brought forth wild grapes. But what did it go? As we have just read, it brought forth wild, bitter grapes. Rebellious and evil ways by his people Israel, not giving unto God the glory that is his due. They failed to cut off those things in their midst who were going astray among them. So that has leaven will go right through the dough for making bread. So these people in their midst, who taught not the right ways of God, corrupted the whole land with terrible consequences. I remember my mother used to make bread, and she used to make the dough, and in the evening she would mix in the leaven. It would be a small lump. The following morning it would raise to quite a large lump. And my mother used to say, the leaven had gone right through it. And this is what happened in Israel. If we turn to that verse 5 of that chapter, and now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard, says Yahweh. I will take away the hedge thereof, that protecting word that you've given them, and it shall be eaten up and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain or rain upon it. For the vineyard of Yahweh of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah is pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, and but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. He looked that it should have been bringing forth the honor and glory to his most holy name. It should have been a place where there would be no oppression, but a place of righteousness one toward the other. But they had corrupted God's ways. Turn to Psalm 80. Psalm 80. The effect of what happened to this vine. Verse 1. Give you, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh stir up thy strength, and come and save us. Turn us, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Yahweh Elohim of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbours, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Yes, because God hath taken away the wall from around them, his protecting hand. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the nations and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs into the sea, and her branches into the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beasts of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O Elohim of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will we not go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. What a terrible state they had come to. They had not pruned. They had not cut off those that were going astray, but let them grow like leaven in a loaf, until they corrupted the whole land with their terrible consequences, as we have just read, that they cried unto God that he had pulled down the wall and the hedges, and the nations were affecting them. The lesson is brought out again if we turn to that, our readings this week from the Gospel of Mark and chapter 12. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. The lesson is there right through the scripture, is it not? Verse 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it and digged a place for the wine vat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and bit him and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir come. Let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. And have we not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. The Romans came and took away their nation, and indeed the husbandman will give the vineyard to others, those of the Gentiles who will walk faithfully in his way and do those things pleasing in his sight, and will give unto him the honour and glory that is due unto his holy name. What Jesus is telling these people is that they need to know a little of the vine culture and its fruit. For if we do not bear fruit unto God, he will take us away. In other words, we will have no part in the kingdom of God. For as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no man, no more can he except he abide in me. What a lesson for us that we do not do as Israel did. The prophet Ezekiel in chapter 15 shows us clearly that the purpose, the sole purpose of growing a vine is for its fruit. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 15. Some trees and plants are grown for their fruit. Some are grown for their beauty. Others are grown that they might have wood to build houses, or that they might indeed make furniture out of it. But you cannot use the wood of the vine for furniture or parts of a house. Read what Ezekiel has to say in chapter 15. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will man take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fuel for fire. The fire devoureth both ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meet for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meet for no work. How much less shall it be meet yet for any work when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore thus saith the Adonai Yahweh, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And he shall know that I am Yahweh, when I set my face against them, and I will make the land desolate, because they have committed a trespass, saith the Adonai Yahweh. And how true are these words? For nigh on 2,000 years, Jerusalem was as a wilderness. The Jew was forbidden to the land on point of death. And I will set my face against them, says Yahweh. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. The Jew has been persecuted wherever they have been throughout the earth. When Moses saw the burning bush, it spoke of Israel and the fire, persecuted, though not devoured. For even today, with all the persecution, the Jew, as predicted, is back in the land. But how they have suffered, because they have not listened to Yahweh's word and walked according to it. The vine is good for one purpose, and one purpose only, unlike other trees. If it doesn't bear fruit, it's only fit for burning. And that is what God has said that he will do with the wicked when Jesus returns to the earth. He says that he will burn them up. In other words, with wars and so forth throughout the earth, the wicked shall perish out of it. Without God, they are of no use to God at all. This earth was created for the honor and glory of God, and if that is not given him, then man will perish. As Jesus said, unless we are in him, unless we take his words into our heart and act upon them and draw the sap from the word of God as the clusters of the vine is from the root, unless we do that, we shall fail. We shall not bear true fruit to God, but sour grapes, no good to man or beast, and certainly no good to God. To see how God was so pleased with Israel, he said at one stage in their history that their vine is as the vine of Sodom. He said their vine is as the vine of Sodom. And we read that this plant, the vine of Sodom, it grows around the Dead Sea area. The fruit is like a tomato, a red, shiny tomato, very lovely looking and very attractive looking, as we can look sometimes on a Sunday with our suits and as we go to the meeting. But this little plant, this little beautiful looking fruit, is not edible. You cannot eat it. It is full of hard black seeds and hairs. It's mingled with silky hairs. And when you look at it, it looks terrible. It resembles, apparently, ashes. It looks like ashes. Indeed, some call it dead sea fruit or dust and ashes. Good for nothing. Good for nothing. Exactly like Ezekiel said about that vine. Good for nothing. Burn one end of it, burn the other end of it. Even the middle piece is no good but for burning. You cannot eat that fruit. It looks lovely, but it's good for nothing. Now, careful then, are we to be? How careful are we to be that we do not become like that? Looking good on the outside. I'm a Christadelphian. I go to the meetings looking good, but within our hearts, good for nothing. Good for nothing. What a lesson we learn from the vine and from these things, is it not? Most interesting, too, regarding the vine is that it sent out branches on every side, repeating the general type in numberless miniature copies of its own forms and structures, and converting all the influences of heaven and earth, that is the sun and the rain and the earth in which it grows, converting all them, all given by God himself, into means of nourishment and growth for the whole plant, not necessarily for the one part of it. Think of all the ecclesias throughout the world, all in Christ Jesus, all drawing off the word of God, of life, and all, we pray, giving unto God the fruit, the glory due to his most holy name, helping, uplifting, and strengthening each other to grow into luscious fruit that God might be approved of. In the book of the prophet Micah, in chapter 4, God speaks of a time when true Israel of God would be gathered after the judgments of the nations. Turn to Micah. Micah chapter 4, and we read in verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, into the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up the sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Micah is predicting a time of wonderful peace, a beautiful picture of a time of peace when the Lord Jesus Christ sets up the kingdom. And then he says in verse 4, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of Yahweh of hosts have spoken it. For all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of Yahweh Elohim forever and ever. Some years ago, when I spoke on the vine, I asked Sister Tamar Hopper if she would paint me a picture of a vine and of a fig tree. It's gone now, I couldn't find it. But it was a lovely picture, and we had it in front when I spoke to show what a lovely scene this is. What a beautiful scene is shown when the vine intermingled with the fig tree. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters and young people, can you imagine in your mind's eye, you, myself, our brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God, sitting under a fig tree and a vine, with its clusters of grapes hanging above us, wonderful, lovely perfume of the foliage about us on a warm day, a warm, sunny day, and calling to our friends to join us in the peace of the day, with no worries of wars, no problems of this life, so that we might sit together to talk over the things of God. A picture of true peace and safety. Yet when we look at that picture and we consider what we have spoken of this evening, how careful we have to be that we do not end up as what Ezekiel tells us, to be burned up with the things of this world when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. We have to draw upon the sap of the word. We have to be strengthened and uplifted by this word, as the cluster of grapes is strengthened and made fat and luscious by the sap that goes through from the roots. So we, from this root that we have before us, may we indeed partake of the sap, that when our Lord Jesus Christ returns, he will find us acceptably in his sight as fruit fit for Yahweh. May we consider these things, each and every one of us, that we might indeed have a part and a place in that glorious kingdom.
Thanks, Brother Arthur, for his thoughts this evening on the vine.